Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $100 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc. Write Scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There's a whole genre of Old Testament literature called wisdom literature. The prime example that's always cited is the book of Proverbs. It isn't exclusive to the book of Proverbs. There are other books in the Old Testament that fall into this genre, but Proverbs is probably the quintessential example. Now, is this just good advice? Is it just kind of the wisdom in totally the human conventional sense of some aphorisms and some do's and some don'ts that help life just be a little bit better every day? Or is there more to the wisdom that is imparted there in the Old Testament, say the book of Proverbs? After all, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There seems to be some connection between faith and wisdom. We're going to be talking about Christ in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 8, Wisdom's Call. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
It's certainly a big theme in the Old Testament, wisdom. Why are we focusing on it this week?
Week, we're looking at the Feast of the Holy Trinity, and when we talk about the Holy Trinity, we confess that there is one true God. He is eternal. He is the only God. But when we talk about the one true God, he is a triune God. We talk about the unity of the divine essence, and we also talk about the Trinity, the plurality of persons. And one of the things that we'll do on this Sunday is when we look at a passage from the Old Testament like Proverbs chapter 8, we are trying to understand and comprehend the mystery of the Trinity, that this is not a new teaching. This does not come from Greek philosophy. This is not an invention of the church post-apostolic. It's not even something that's new in just the New Testament scriptures, but rather, this has been the teaching ever since the beginning, because it's the same God ever since the beginning. And in a passage like this in Proverbs chapter 8, where we learn about the wisdom of God, the wisdom is more than just a concept, an abstract idea, just a thing, but instead that you have God who is wisdom. And so when we talk about a distinction between Yahweh and the wisdom of Yahweh, we are taught to make this distinction between the plurality of persons, of specifically the Father and the Son. Now, typically when we talk about the Son, we use the language of the Word, that he is the Word of God, that he is the incarnate Word who takes upon flesh. But today we want to emphasize that he is wisdom, that he is the incarnate wisdom of God, wisdom who has been eternal. There never has been a time when God lacked wisdom. It's not like you had a time when God was God without wisdom. Instead, wisdom is eternal. And when we understand that wisdom is eternal, that you have the Father who is eternal, the Son is eternal, that this wisdom of God is co-eternal, that this is true God, and that specifically this is the wisdom of God that took upon flesh and blood, the one who created all things and the one who comes to restore all things.
So let's start by talking about Christ as wisdom incarnate. Where would you look for that?
Well, just here in chapter 8, when you have wisdom speaking, this is the understanding of the Word of God, the Word that comes to us to teach us, to speak to us, to communicate to us, to reveal to us the divine truth. And in this passage in particular, you have wisdom who is speaking. And so we're not just talking about an abstract idea or a concept of God's intelligence, of God's knowledge, but instead wisdom is speaking. So it's not just a mere personification, just taking wisdom and trying to make it into this adamant object. But instead, wisdom is speaking. This is the word of God that has constantly been talking to God's people, communicating, revealing who God is ever since the beginning, the one who comes and appears. And here in chapter 8, you have wisdom speaking, saying, O sons, listen to me, and blessed are those who keep my ways and hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Why? Because blessed is the one who listens to me. And the proclamation that wisdom is making here is this confession, or as we would confess, as we're learning to confess, that wisdom is true God. These declarations, these statements, this is only what God himself can declare. Only God can say, listen to me and be blessed, that you would keep my ways. So wisdom is not something separate from God, a different entity. Instead, wisdom is God, that you are listening to wisdom, and in listening to wisdom, you are blessed. In listening to wisdom, you have life. And this is what Christ does when he comes to teach, when he comes to speak. He comes to give us his life. He comes to teach us, to guide us, and to lead us, that we would listen to him. So throughout the Gospels, you have the Word of God in the flesh coming to dwell among us and coming to speak to us, calling us, inviting us to listen and to be blessed. But he's the wisdom of God, as Paul will confess in the New Testament scriptures, in, for instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in which we talk about Christ being the power of God and the wisdom of God. He's the one that will act. He's the one that will come. He's the one that will speak. He's the one that will make us blessed. And in him we are blessed, for in Christ there is no condemnation, and we are a new creation. Well, more specifically, we see when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and you'll see this in John chapter 6, when the multitude of his disciples leave, and they don't want to hear the words that Jesus has to say anymore. But it's at that point where Peter says those famous words, that response of Peter, when Jesus will ask, are you going to leave also? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That Peter here is confessing that this is wisdom. This is wisdom incarnate. This is wisdom who has come to bless us, wisdom who has come to give us life, wisdom who has come to lead us in his ways, that we would keep his word, that we would grow, that we would continue to be renewed in his presence. Well, in other places in the gospel, you'll have a clear indication from Jesus himself that he is wisdom. You'll see these passages where Jesus is talking about how when John the Baptizer came, and John the Baptizer, he wouldn't eat with anybody, you know, because he was fasting, and he was very pious, and nobody wanted to do anything with John the Baptizer, that is, the rulers. Well, Jesus comes, and they do the opposite. So Jesus, he's eating with the sinners, and so they say Jesus is a glutton, and Jesus hangs out with sinners, and it appears that Jesus is not pious at all. And this is where Jesus will make this statement, yet wisdom will be justified by her children. That you will be able to see that the children, that is, the ones who are sons of God through Christ, the ones who are converted to faith, whose eyes are open, whose ears can now hear, the ones who are being recreated and restored, those are the children of God. As Paul will talk about later on when he connects this to baptism, that we are adopted children of God that listen to the voice of wisdom. We are taught God's wisdom. Well, Jesus will also talk about this when he's talking about sending out the apostles, that Jesus is the one who sends out the prophets. He says this in Matthew 23, therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town. So in Matthew's gospel, Jesus saying he's the one who sends them out. But in Luke's account, Luke gives us this understanding that it's wisdom, the wisdom of God in Luke chapter 11, that will send out the prophets and the apostles, the ones whom they will kill and they will persecute. Because Because you see, Jesus is wisdom, and he gives his apostles the wisdom to go out and proclaim. That's the Word, the words of eternal life. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, of course, is the Spirit of wisdom. He is the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of Jesus. Or in other places, we'll call Jesus the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. But today, we're going to focus on Jesus as the wisdom of God.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue that conversation with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. We're going to talk a little bit about an ancient Christian heresy, Arianism, right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 8, Wisdom, Wisdom's Call. Now, do a little history lesson for us, because there's a verse here, at least as it is translated in a very ancient Greek text, the Septuagint of the Old Testament here, that was brought up by an ancient heretic, Arius, when it has to do with the person of Christ and his incarnation.
Yeah, and this is interesting that we must note that in this passage here in Proverbs chapter 8, according to the Greek text, the translation from the Hebrew, of course, by these Hebrew rabbis, they chose to render this in this way. The Lord created me as the beginning of his works, as the beginning of his ways for his works, is actually what it would be. So the Lord created me as the beginning of his ways for his works. And this Greek word that's being used here is create. I mean, it actually is create, katizo. It's to create. This word will be used throughout the New Testament to create. I mean, that's what it means. And this became controversial in the early church with the teacher Arius. Now, Arius, of course, is a priest in Egypt, and Arius begins to teach that Jesus is not eternal, that the Son of God did not exist from all eternity. Instead, Arius was teaching falsely that there was a time when the Son of God did not exist. Thus, the Word of God was a created entity. So this was the teaching of Arius. Now, we must be clear that this was a teacher of the church, and this is what he's teaching. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to do the right thing. And when he does this, of course, he runs into a problem because he's looking for a text, a proof text to prove his point. And he immediately finds this proof text here in chapter 8 of Proverbs, because the text says that the Lord created me as the beginning of his ways. And so Arius, of course, thinks he has the day because of his proof text. And this, of course, is why I'm not a big fan of proof texting, because in proof texting, you already have a premise, you already have a presupposition of what your teaching is, and then you try to find some kind of a passage to back it up. Well, this is what Arius is using, because they're using the Greek Old Testament scriptures. Well, now, Athanasius, who likewise is in Egypt, but he's not a priest, he's a deacon. But Athanasius is the one that we know for the Athanasian Creed, which we'll be confessing on Trinity Sunday. But Athanasius is the one who stood up and challenges Arius on this text here. And what's amazing about this is both Arius and Athanasius are using the Greek text. But instead of looking for a proof text, Athanasius is able to take the text as he had it in the Greek and say, what is the Holy Spirit teaching me about the person and work of Christ? And this is beautiful, because as he's looking at the Greek text and it says created, what Athanasius is able to do is tell Arius, here's the point, the text itself, that's where we're going to look, the text itself says that he created me as the beginning of his ways. And so Athanasius will be clear, look, the text does not say he created me before his works, that I was a created entity before anything else, and then there was a time when I didn't exist. Athanasius will say, look, the text is saying that he created me as the beginning of his ways for his works. In other words, Athanasius says that this is teaching us about the Lord's humanity, the incarnation, that this text in Proverbs is used in this kind of this picture language. It's a different wisdom literature. It's different than regular straight-up historical narrative. And so what Athanasius will say is this is teaching us the mystery of the incarnation. This is about the human nature of the Christ, which he is flesh of our flesh and blood of our blood, that he was created in that sense as the beginning of the way of salvation, that he was made manifest for us to be our Savior, that he is the way to the Father. In him alone do we have access to the Father. So it's beautiful that you take this text, because remember, they're not working with the Hebrew. They're working with the Greek, and still in the Greek, he is able to clearly confess Christ. And he confesses, of course, the human nature, that in this passage it's not talking about Christ in his divine nature, that there was a time when he did not exist, but instead it's emphasizing that this human nature is from the Virgin, and it is that flesh and blood that will be given up for the life of the world. His blood will sanctify us, and His flesh will be given over for us so that we would have life in Him. So that's the beauty here. But we learn a couple of things. Number one, this false notion of proof texting, trying to find a text to prove your point, but also this beauty of taking the text and trying to say, what is God teaching me? In particular, what is the Holy Spirit revealing to me about Christ, His person and His work?
Now, you mentioned there the Greek text. There is the Hebrew text to which we have access now, and it helps kind of helps us understand a little better what it's saying there in Proverbs 8.
Yeah, and so in the Hebrew text, instead of saying that He was created, that is wisdom, instead of saying that wisdom is created, instead, from the Hebrew, it says that Yahweh possessed me at the beginning of His ways. That He possessed me, or the beginning of His ways, He possessed me. This language of possessing is kana. Now, the word kana is a word that has the connotation of begetting and birth. Now, we know this word because this is the word that Moses chose to use in Genesis chapter 4. And the word kana should have a ring in your head. It's something that reminds you of that first birth, the first one who's born, that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and she bore Cain, saying, I have gotten Yahweh the man. So that with this promise in the beginning that God had already planned, that He's going to send forth His Son, born of the virgin, to crush the serpent's head, that this promise was given to Adam and Eve. And when they have their first child, the child is conceived, the child is born, they name the child Cain because it sounds like Canaan. This Cana is this word to have gotten, have possessed, have to receive. So this is directly connected to the birth and the conception of Cain, that this is the one that Eve thought was the promised Messiah, and so she says, look, behold, I have gotten, I have possession of Yahweh the man, of course, which justifies to the incarnation, truly God, truly man. This is the same word that will be used later on in Psalm 139, in which you have this understanding that, for you brought forth my inward parts, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. Well, when we translate this, you brought forth my inward parts, we're talking about this kana, that the same word that's connected to conception, the same word that's connected to birthing, begetting. This understanding here in the Hebrew actually clarifies that we're not talking about the human nature of the Christ, but instead, this is a testimony that's talking about the divine nature of Christ, that He is co-essential with the Father, that He is God of God, true God of true God, begotten, not made. And so the beauty in this is when you have the Greek text and you have the Hebrew text, instead of Athanasius falling into this trick of proof texting, Athanasius is able to take the Greek text and say, this confesses the human nature, and we can now take the Hebrew text and we can say it confesses for us the divine nature of the Christ. And you'll see this clearly when you look throughout the chapter, because you'll have another word that is used here in the Hebrew that also has to do with a conception and birth and begetting. And this is the word that you will see in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, in which we read that wisdom is saying, when there was no depth, I was brought forth. Now, this is a different Hebrew word. This is heel, and this word right here is connected to the pains of labor. And so he says in verse 24, before there was the depths I was brought forth, when there was no spring abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. So twice this other word is used, this Hebrew word for this being brought forth, connected to conception and the pains of labor in particular. Because we'll have this Hebrew word that's used throughout the Old Testament to talk about this agony and this birthing, this direct connection to this conception and the labor in the womb. You'll see this in Deuteronomy 32, where God will use this about His children, about His adopted children, that is, the believers in the promise of the Christ. And so in Deuteronomy 32, he says, you were unmindful of the rock that bore you. Now, that unmindful is you forgot about it. And this is that prophecy where Moses teaches them that once you go into the promised land, you're going to forget all the promises of God. You're going to grow fat, and you're going to grow lazy, and you're going to follow after false gods. Because you're going to forget. You're not going to be mindful of the rock that bore you and the God that gave you birth. And so again, this word is used here in Deuteronomy 32, verse 18, about conception, about birth, about labor. It'll be used in Psalm 28 when you talk about a deer giving birth, or even in Psalm 51, which we're familiar with. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we're talking about being brought forth in iniquity. This is that birth, the conception, that begetting, that's who we are. We are sinful by nature. And so if we are sinful by nature because we are like our parents, Adam and Eve, then Jesus, who is begotten of the Father from all eternity, he is one who has no sin. He's one who is God of God, begotten, not made. And the same word in the Hebrew will be used in Isaiah 13, talking about the pangs and the agony and labor like a woman, or it'll be used in Isaiah 26, once again, talking about this the pains and the agony and a pregnant woman as she's kind of twisting and kind of you're birthing, or in Isaiah 45, he says, woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting, or to a woman, with what are you in labor? So here the word is used as labor. So again, this is connected to conception, connected to a birthing, connected to a begetting. Or later on in Isaiah 51, same thing where you forgot about this. You should remember Abraham, your father, to Sarah, from whom you were born. Or in Isaiah 54, it's the same word that you are to sing aloud and sing, O barren one, and break forth in the song and cry aloud, rejoicing, the one who was not in labor, because the desolate one, her children, will be more than the one who was married. And Paul will use that later on in the New Testament, talking about the church as the mother of us all, that we are conceived in the womb of the church, in the womb of the baptismal waters and the font. Or later on, Isaiah will use this in 66 about the labor and the giving birth of the land when he's talking about the new creation. So this is very clearly birthing language, not creating language. And that's the distinction that we want to make, that here in Proverbs chapter 8, that we are confessing clearly that wisdom is not a created entity that has not existed from all time. Instead, we are positively saying that wisdom is a begotten eternal of the Father, and there's never been a time where wisdom did not exist. So the Hebrew really helps us to make that clear confession that this is who Christ is, the eternal one, the one who is of the Father. He is begotten, not made.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, May the 19th. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, we're in Proverbs 8 when we come back. We'll talk about this wisdom, Christ being co-equal with the Father there in Proverbs 8. Pastor Ketchelmeyer is host of a weekly radio show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. What would you say if someone asked you to explain the Trinity? Would you begin with Scripture, the creeds, or some clever analogy? And how are Christ and the gospel at the center of this fundamental Christian teaching? Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Beckwith has written a new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series. It's titled The Holy Trinity. You can save $5 by pre-ordering The Holy Trinity at logia.org, logia.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Christ in the Old Testament, our series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Let's talk about Christ being co-equal with the Father that you find there in Proverbs chapter 8.
Well, what you have here is that the Son says that I was beside him. Wisdom says that I was beside him like a master workman, a craftsman, creating with him, rejoicing and delighting. Well, this is what we saw in Genesis chapter 1, where Elohim, again in the plural, saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. So he's rejoicing and he's delighting in creation. And John will tell us in his gospel, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he's a craftsman with the Father.
Then let's talk a little bit about Christ co-eternal with the Father elsewhere in that chapter.
So not only does he say, I was there beside him, co-equal, but he also says, I was there, which means he's eternal. He was there when there were no depths, when there was no springs abounding with water, before the hills were made, before the mountains, before the fields, before everything was established. He was there. And this is what the New Testament will clearly testify, that in the beginning, the Word, and that Greek word, of course, is logos. In the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God. And later on in John chapter 17, when the Son is talking to the Father, when wisdom incarnate says, glorify me, Father, in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So this confession of wisdom, I was there, he's co-eternal with the Father.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He is host of a weekly radio show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
It's great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the doctrine of the Trinity. Pastor Peter Bender will be our guest. We'll talk with Chris Rosebrough about This Week in Pop American Christianity, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The Issues Etc. book of the month for May is called Being Lutheran. The title pretty much says it all, but it's one of those primers for those who are either Lutheran their entire life and need a refresher course, so many of us do, or are either contemplating or new to Lutheranism. I highly recommend Being Lutheran from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it right there at our website, every page, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Being Lutheran, the Issues Etc. book of the month for May, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. What we really ought to do here when we read this 8th chapter of Proverbs is to realize that when it says wisdom says, it is Jesus Christ speaking there. Makes it an awful lot clearer. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-650-3350.